Time now to catch up with Jeff from Solar Wines. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all our listeners.
And what's happening, mate? I believe in your part of the world, it's lovely too.
Yes, beautiful day here, Peter. Absolutely dead still, blue skies. We're waiting for the heat wave, Peter. Geez, we're forecast 29 degrees here twice next week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're going to be out there, you know, sitting under the leaveless silk tree.
So you have a silk tree that's bald.
Yeah, it just started to bloom. The leaves are just shooting. But that is about the coolest spot on the vineyard under that silk tree. But and I'm talking about when it's got its leaves, Peter.
Yeah, when it's got, mate, it's absolutely beautiful. And, of course, your little gums, are they gums in front of the...
No, fig trees.
Fig trees, yeah. I knew I'd get it wrong.
Fig trees, yeah. Well, just as we joke, Peter, I mean, they're growing, the roots are growing under the house all the time. It's a constant war here, trying to stop this house from becoming a tree house, Peter.
So, mate, yeah. they are really lovely trees, though, and nice to sit under. And
they are.
As you know, we put our broadcast spot there for that reason, that it's nice and cool and very pleasant.
Yes. Somebody with a low capacity or imagination, Peter, before we came here, planted those. They got these cute little fig trees in a pot, probably about half a meter high, and said, look, gee, this is a nice spot for them. You know, just about 3 meters from the house. You know? No. It won't be too long. The trunks will be bigger than the house, Peter.
Yeah. Well, it happens that way. I mean, look, in Newcastle, I think they had to remove some near the library. As my memory serves me, for that very reason, it was starting to affect the road and everything. Terrible.
Their roots are unbelievable, Peter, and they're not subterranean type roots either. If you recall here, those roots, you know, are going in every direction here, and they're as big as your body. Some of those roots.
Uh huh.
So, anyway.
I feel I'm being diminished. I'm being diminished.
Diminished. Yeah. Well, Peter...
That's all you need is a big root beside you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, interesting...
29 degrees, huh? I wonder what they're drinking. Sorry?
I said interesting things going on in the world. Europe's definitely got a problem with this second wave coronavirus. Do you know, this is the funny part, after rubbishing the United States for the last 2 months, France and Spain now have twice the rate of coronavirus infections that the United States does. If you look at it based on population, they're fluctuating around 8,000 to 10,000 a day, and they have less than one-fifth the population, about one-fifth the population of the United States. So that's 50,000, 40 to 50,000 people a day equivalent in the United States, and they're only running between 30 and 40, Peter. So their rate of infection is lower than Europe. And unfortunately, the UK is up, you know, 3,500 a day. And even Germany and Italy, which have pretty much had it under control, you know, started to climb over 1,000, 1,500 a day. So Sweden's about, well, of course, the Scandinavian countries, but Sweden is still maintaining a very low level, Peter. And maybe that's the key. If you don't go all out and smash everything to pieces, then when the second wave comes, if it comes, if you ever have a second wave, which, you know, these Sweden and the United States hasn't, of course, it's still going down. Maybe that's the key, Peter. You do what you can, social distance, et cetera, and you don't get a second wave. Who the heck knows? We'll see down the line what happens there. But U.S. has been on a downward trend for month and a half, 2 months. They've halved the rate, the daily cases. And Europe's in the middle of a second wave now and a greater infection rate. So who knows what the correct approach is, Peter?
Mate, I think people are becoming complacent. I was on the bus the other day, and I said to this lady, I said, where's your mask? She said, I haven't got one. I don't want one. And I thought, are you serious? You know, they just don't care.
That's the government. I'm not for masks myself, but in confined spaces, and I think the could be a condition of public transit.
Yep.
It could be a condition of worship. Big article in the paper this morning about the three main places of infection, and those were two of the three, Peter: public transit and worship, churches and mosques and various things. So,
this guy was coughing and spluttering and everything, and I thought, you know, good on you, mate. Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, he's safe, Peter. And if you catch his cold, you're probably safe too. Remember last week
we
talked rhinovirus.
If you've got the flu, you don't get it.
Yeah, the common cold you don't get. You should have run up and kissed him, Peter. The common cold, you don't get the coronavirus.
Well, I'm not going to go up and kiss him.
Yeah. Anyway, I got a complaint about the journalism in Australia, Peter. You can't find anything unless it's bad news. I've got to the point now, I no longer read the Australian newspapers or the ABC's service first. I read The Guardian, because what I've discovered over the last month or two, if the cases in New South Wales are down, they don't report it.
No.
Only report it when the cases are up, because that's bad news, Peter.
And I don't know what's wrong with them.
If you go to The Guardian, the Australian version of The Guardian, which you can get online, they report on the front page every day the cases in New South Wales and Queensland. There's a little box, you just click on it, and they give you the latest news as soon as the news release comes up. Not so in Australia. You got to search and search. Goes down to two cases, three cases. You know, you can't find anything because they don't report it. So, because it's not bad news, Peter.
It's not sensational.
Exactly. And I mean, what's the purpose of having a news service if you and if the cases go down, but the deaths go up, they lead with the deaths, increased deaths, you know, because that's the bad part.
Well, I remember, without saying who or where, but I got a new news editor where I was working. And this particular person wanted sensational news every day. I soon discovered my old news editor had moved to another station, and I immediately made calls and went over there. I don't like this sensational rubbish.
Yeah, well, that's it seems pervasive in the Australian psyche or the press psyche. You know, if it's not bad news, this is not news at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway. That's good that we're, you know, we've panicked ourselves into a bloody, excuse the language here, furor in Australia and over virtually nothing, whereas the rest of the world, of course, is learning to live with the coronavirus. And hopefully we never will have to, at the same rate, learn to live with it. But, you know, it's a fact of life in most of the world.
Mate, have you chilled the glasses, by the way?
Getting ready for the heat wave, Peter?
Yeah, 29 degrees. I thought, nice chilled glasses and a beautiful glass of organic wine.
That's it. We'll have to sit under the big umbrella out there, Peter, around the round table.
yeah, right. Who's got the cards?
interesting article in the paper the other day as well, and I didn't get to reproduce it, but I looked up the stats today so that we could chat with them. Look, Peter, months ago we talked about the number of people dying because of the resources being put into coronavirus. There were the extraordinary deaths, and they looked at the four states in northeast United States which had heavy coronavirus infections, and they found that the extraordinary deaths over and above what they would expect were only two-thirds coronavirus. The other one-third were people that didn't or couldn't seek medical help, that died of stroke, heart attack, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But just to follow on from that, now the World Health and various other organizations are involved. You know, for example, Peter, mosquito-borne parasites last year killed 405,000 people.
Yeah, and they don't mention that.
228 million people became infected. But those people that get malaria, that's a lifetime disease, Peter.
That's right.
He's coming back, you know, if you get malaria and any of those dengue fevers and Ross River fever, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can get on a disability if you get those, Peter. That's so debilitating to some people.
Yep.
TB, Peter, tuberculosis. 1.5 million people died. These are 218 statistics, which are the only ones that we have. Yeah. 1.5 million people died of tuberculosis.
And they don't mention it.
We think that tuberculosis is a disease that's been cured, but it hasn't. And of course, in a lot of the world, of course, they don't have the same medical treatment. AIDS killed 750,000 people last year, Peter.
Yeah, don't mention.
Don't mention it. You know, and we got millions of people dying. And the interesting thing is that those three things, mosquitoes are a parasite, tuberculosis is a bacteria, and AIDS is a virus.
Yeah.
So we have these tremendously high, debilitating diseases killing way more people than coronavirus. Because you've got to think about this now. Like, you know, I don't know how many have died in Victoria, probably a couple of hundred now, and I empathize with the families. But in 2018, Peter, 3,000 people died in Victoria of the regular flu.
That's right. No mention.
No mention of the regular flu. And because of social distancing, we've probably saved 2,000 lives in Victoria because they're not catching the regular flu. Old people in particular that, you know, have emphysema and other, you know, respiratory problems. And, of course, they're the main victims.
Yeah.
Incidentally, there was an interesting article in the paper the other day, or maybe I read it in the research, the pneumococcal vaccine, Peter.
Don't swear at me like that.
Pneumococcal vaccine, a vaccine to prevent pneumonia. They've been trialing it in Africa. it's been successful, Peter. It's stopped it in the areas where they have serious outbreaks of it. So that's interesting. If they can get a vaccine for pneumonia, you think that they could do coronavirus reasonably quickly. So,
well, they're trying awfully hard. I notice various organizations around the world are still trying.
They are. A couple of quick things. I quickly mentioned about cigarette smoke, Peter. And it's not unknown. They've always known the cadmium levels in tobacco are quite high.
Yep.
And they found it's quite high in smoke as well, and secondhand smoke. And cadmium is very, very bad for your health. And what they've discovered now is that in pregnant women, you know, children are going to, if they're exposed, the pregnant woman is exposed to tobacco smoke, they're going to have childhood asthma and other serious allergies.
Interesting.
Yes, new baby. So, look, secondhand smoke. If you're pregnant, throw anybody in the house out that smokes. Send them to the garage.
Yeah, so. Well, my parents didn't smoke. My brother didn't smoke. But I still got the asthma anyway.
I did smoke when I was younger and till I saw the light. And, it's good. People that are highly strung need some other activity, you know, to keep their hands from, you know, fiddling around, etc.
Yeah, run a radio station.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Another interesting one. Look, we did a program about 6 months on the benefits of soy, Peter.
Yes.
Remember, cardiovascular and obesity, they have found that it was very helpful. Now, new study just came out September 15th, which is yesterday, Peter. We're right on top of everything here. This came out of Washington State University. They have found that soy improves bone cancer treatment.
Ah.
Yes. So now, if you are eating soy, we're working on not only cardiovascular and obesity, we're working on cancer as well. And unfortunately, most secondary cancers, I'm not a medical doctor, so I better not use the word most, but often the secondary cancers, particularly of breast cancer, return as bone cancer. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we have to, well, I'm unfortunately a bit familiar with breast cancer, but, Peter, but we have to make sure that in our stir fries, that we're chopping up little cubes of soy. It's very tasty in a nice stir fry.
Yeah, it's actually very, very nice.
It is nice, and I think we're going to have to add that again to our diet, Peter, a little more strongly, since it has such great health benefits. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a few of the various stalls in the courts around the shopping centres, pardon me, that actually Vietnamese people, and they cook. Oh, it's so lovely.
Yes, and, you know, I don't know about, I know longevity in Japan is very high, and they eat a lot of soy, so.
true.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe there's something to it, Peter. So, anyway, of course, the other thing that's very healthy for you, Peter, is a nice glass of organic wine.
Right, bring the chilled glasses, please.
Yes, twice up to 50 to 100% more antioxidants, which, of course, we're all chasing, because antioxidants neutralize free radicals, and that helps us keep our mind, that is, delay the onset of dementia, keeps our arteries clean, helps macular degeneration, skin, everything, Peter, antioxidants. So if you're going to have a nice glass of wine, why not have one that is at least healthy for you? Healthy in the sense that there's higher in antioxidants, Peter, and it doesn't have those 15 carcinogens and endocrine disruptors that Peter tested, Peter. The organization protection of animals, and in the average wine, 15 carcinogens and endocrine disruptors.
And so, it is a lovely way to finish a meal.
It is. Well, it's a lovely way to start it, Peter.
You're getting in too early. Mate, people can do that. All they've got to do is go to your website.
Yes, cellarwines.com.au, free delivery, mix and match a 9-pack, free delivery Australia-wide. So, yes, we've been having, since we did that program, Peter, that showed people that have a couple of glasses of wine a day have less cognitive degeneration than people that don't drink or just have a couple a week. So the peak was, if you recall, for your listeners, they divided, followed people for 10 years, tested them to see how bright they were every 2 years, and found that those people that drank two glasses, they didn't go higher than two, Peter. So we might be even smarter still.
You had to find the nice fresh glasses over there.
Yeah, so people who drank two glasses of wine were the clear winners. And the less wine you drank, the 8 to 10 and the lower 1 to 2 a week, they did less. They maintained their cognitive ability less, Peter. Their cognitive ability declined at a faster rate. So you're testing the same people all the time. Mm-hmm. So this is a good test. And there was a very, very large cross-section. So, yeah, good for you, Peter. Good for your heart. And obviously good for your brain.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, everyone loves a smartie. Not the ones in the box up. Yeah, boring. Mate, website again, of course, is?
Cellarwines.com.au. And, or call us here. Come and see us. We were busy on Saturday, people. Peter, we had people running all over the place. Had to tie up poor old Buddy.
Oh.
Well, people turn up with a small dog, Peter, and he gets excited. So what can you do?
Let him play.
Well, that's it. I can say, go put your dog in the car, you know.
No.
But then, Buddy would sit over there where the car is. So I had to tie him up while we were here. But, it's not really fair to Buddy. He thinks he's being punished, which he is, because he wouldn't listen to me. And that's the reason I tied him up more than for the dog, is because I told him to stay away from the dog, and of course he wouldn't, because they wouldn't let, they're nursing him like a baby, Peter, you know, the dog. And because I think they're afraid Buddy was going to eat him.
Understood. Well, mate, lovely to catch up with you.
Yeah, great, Peter. We'll catch up next week.
Sure will. Acellawines.com.au. What are you doing sitting there? Do it immediately, if not sooner.